Securities and advisory services through Independent Financial Group, LLC, a registered broker-dealer and investment advisor member, FINRA/SIPC.
Good morning, America. Dennis O'Brien, president of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group. Your retirement is my mission. You like that? I'm working on a new mission statement, trying to get it down. Chris is going up and bobbing up and down. Anyway, I hope everybody's doing well. A little rain starting out there. Feels like fall finally, but that's okay. We were expecting it. Let the fall festivals begin. Hope everybody's doing well. It's been a crazy week. I took a little Dramamine. It was bobbing up and down. The markets were crazy. You had a lot going on, so we'll talk about all that. But more importantly, we got a baby on the way. I'm going to be a grandpa for the first time in December, a Christmas baby, give or take a few days. Lori and I are very excited and happy for Cutter and Nicole. Baby shower next weekend here in Mystic. And, you know, that's I'm beaming ear to ear. I'm so happy for the kids. Yay. Hey, Chris, nice touch. I like that. It's pretty good. My other son, Justin, and his wife, Agnes, they're moving to a new apartment in Manhattan, so we'll be heading down to help them move. Thank God they have movers, because they go from a third-floor walk-up to a fourth-floor walk-up. I'm too old. Come on. I ain't hauling furniture up no walk-up. But in any case, the apartment looks beautiful. They're moving in the same area on the Upper East Side, and they're very, very happy, and they're doing well. Timmy Bray, Seaport Realty. He tells me that real estate prices are starting to head back down due to higher rates on mortgages. The rate increases in the past year are starting to take effect, even in Manhattan, where prices are starting to fall. So if they're falling in Manhattan, you know they're falling out here in the, well, we're not the boonies, but way out there in the boonies. I think what people don't realize, and we'll talk about the stock market a little bit, I don't think people realize that it's a cumulative effect over time when the rate increases by the Fed slow down the economy. And what the Fed did a year ago is now starting to take effect. Okay, it's always a lag time. People do not understand that. And sometimes I wonder if the Fed understands it. Okay, because they have all their quants and they have their mathematicians. But the bottom line is it takes a long time for rate increases to work through the banks and eventually work through the consumers and then work through the economy and the decision makers and the company owners. So over time, that works its way through. And the Fed sometimes acts like they have this power of immediacy where they're out over events when the tools they use in some cases take over a year to work. And so as it works through its banking system and the economy, I think they get impatient, react by more rate increases when all they'll have to do is sit back and wait. I think the market's telling them that they've done enough for now and to back off. Sometimes this process is messy because they overreach, the market overreacts, and it's messy, and the stock market will fall quickly the way it did this week. So now they're talking, the Fed Reserve governors, I'm sure, have been burning up the phone lines talking among themselves about how dare the president criticize them. But they will not dare ignore the markets who have told them to back off. So I'm sure they're not thrilled with President Trump. But President Trump, if one thing we've learned about him is that whatever he's thinking, he's telling you pretty much. Pretty much the filter is off with this guy. And if he thinks they've gone too far, he lets them know. Okay. Now, I saw a very funny article in the Wall Street Journal talking about how, well, this is a good thing because this shows how independent the Federal Reserve is. And I was kind of laughing to myself because the Federal Reserve has never been independent. They've always been a political. They're in the whole swampy thing. You know, they're part of it. All their profits throw off go to Treasury. Okay. They're in it as thick as thieves. Don't think for a minute they're totally independent, okay? And the other thing I said 2 weeks ago is two-thirds of inflation comes from wage inflation, and there is no wage inflation. Matter of fact, the working man in this country hasn't gotten a raise in 15 years, okay? The middle class is disappearing. Okay. Federal Reserve, please stop fighting 20-year-ago fights and try to help the American economy grow. Watch for inflation, but realize, really inflation? Is that the main concern? Housing prices are starting to roll over. Car sales are starting to roll over. And you're worried about inflation, and the working man hasn't gotten a raise in 15 years in this country, and you're worried about inflation? Really? Who are you serving? Because it doesn't feel like you're serving us. So President Trump, go at him, keep the pressure on, and don't back down. So I run three portfolios, an income portfolio, tactical industry groups, trying to buy them off the bottom, and the millennial portfolio, which is the millennial stocks. Now, 4 or 5 months ago, I stopped buying them because they had gotten way too high. And I just, started putting new money into income, into some tactical. And the only millennial stocks I was nibbling at were the ones that had gotten knocked down, like Facebook and a couple of others, okay? Now, I'm not telling you to go out and buy any of these, but for the first time now in months, almost 6 months now, I'm preparing shopping lists of companies I'm looking to buy. Okay, and I'll explain to you why I think a big rally is ahead and why you have to get your buying list ready and buy them when everybody else is panicking and being a big dummy. Okay, some of the names I'm working on my list on the portfolio, and of course, you must considerably consider your own risk tolerance and objectives. These are not recommendations for you specifically until we review your finances. Okay, but these are names that I'm looking at in general. They are not recommendations. Okay. So, Luciano in San Diego, I hope this calms you down. One of the companies I'm looking at is Apple, okay? I liked Apple 2 weeks ago. I like it now. New product rollouts coming. The iOS software keeps everybody in their universe, and you've got to, when they start introducing new products again, and it seems like they're coming out faster and faster, and I just think it's going to do much, much better over time. So I've been adding to it. I'm going to stop here because I just want to, on the next segment, I'll go over the other 7 or 8 companies that I'm looking at on my shopping list. If you guys want to ever come in and talk, bring in your statements and print off that questionnaire on my website, obrienretire.com. If you print out all your assets and liabilities, I'll run a retirement in a nutshell report for you. The beautiful thing about the report, and it's totally complimentary, is it'll give me a 30-year estimation of your cash flows in retirement, okay? And it's amazing to me it's 30 years, but that's what it is. And that's a starting point. So once it's in my system, I can change it as many times as you want. So you say, hey, run it so that when you retire at 68, your wife at 66, we can run it that way. We can change the retirement dates. We can change the cash flows. If you work in retirement, we can put that in. And it's a nice estimation for you to use. And it really helps me and you, everybody, get on the same page. And then a year, 2 years, 3 years from now, we can redo the numbers and see how we're tracking and how everything's going. It's really a cool, cool thing. And I offer it to you for free if you're interested in doing it. So go to my website, obrienretire.com. Thanks for listening to me on 94.9 News Now on your dial. Talk to you in a few. Thanks. Dennis O'Brien, President of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group, www.obrienretire.com. If you want to call in with a question, 860-464-9490. We are on News Now Radio 94.9. I just said hi to John Fuller, the owner of the station, told me I'll be listening. And it was kind of a little ominous. I was like, oh, boy, I should be a little nervous here and everything else. But let's go through the list, my buying list currently, okay? I mentioned Apple to you. Boeing. I like Boeing a lot, but remember, specifically, it's not a recommendation. I'm just looking at it, but they're on a super cycle airplane replacement. Pfizer is waking up after 15 years sleep, and I'm watching that very carefully. Chip company called NVIDIA. You've heard of Intel. You've heard of maybe AMD. NVIDIA seems to have these chips for the automated driving, and came down a lot this week. Amazon. Everybody knows Amazon, right? Run by the richest man in the world, Jeff Bezos. And that's a company that's come down about, you know, 10%, 15% recently. So take a look. Netflix. They said Netflix represents 15% of the internet traffic. That's absolutely incredible. All those downloading when you go watching your shows, been watching your TV shows that you've missed with no commercials or the movies or anything else. And I always have three or four different shows going if there's nothing good on TV and whatnot. Google. Well, they call it Alphabet now. That's the holding company, but it's really Google and everything else. And Google's come down a bit. You know, once again, you got to get that buying list ready to go in case you're interested. Microsoft, oldie but goodie, new chairman. I love this guy. So take a look if it's appropriate for you. It's gotten knocked down. I don't think quite 10%, but it's interesting here. And finally, not a stock, but an ETF I like. It's the regional bank index. It got knocked down 10-12%. I like the regional banks here. They'll be able to charge more for loans. Thank you, Federal Reserve. And I think they'll raise what they pay you a lot slower than they'll raise what they were willing to lend you at. That's called the spread, and that's how banks make their money. So there's something on my shopping list of things I'm looking to buy for people if they come in with cash and say, Dan, what do you think? I want to look at the growth area more than the income area, the tactical area. So these are some ideas for you. Of course, you must consider your own risk tolerance and objectives and whatnot. Okay, so what's next for the markets? Okay, one of the things I use that helps me, gives me a huge advantage over most people, okay, is this mathematical program. Now, it's marketed as something called VectorVest. It was designed by a mathematician in North Carolina. And the way it's marketed, I don't believe, is the correct use of the program. The correct use of the program is more watching the overall trends of the markets mathematically and watching what's going on. The main ratio that I watch is something called the buy-sell ratio. So you have 8,100 companies in the U.S. right now. When the buy-sell ratio is 1-to-1, that means we're neutral. For every buy, there's a sell, and that's called normal, okay? Now, usually it's never normal. It's either below 0.9 is a little negative. 1.1-to-1 is a little positive, okay? Now, let me give you some historical perspective on this. When we came out the first week in March of 09, when we came out of the 08-09, they finally figured out mark-to-mark counting was not going to work. And when they got rid of that, the market started to soar, okay? The buy-sell ratio didn't go to 1-to-1 or 1.5-to-1. It went to 3-to-1, 3.5-to-1. It was the most strong buy thing I had seen up to that date. And that meant, watch out, we are going much, much higher, okay? And that upward trend is extremely bullish, but, you know, could getting a little in the frothy side, all right? 2012, I think it was October 12, I saw the buy ratio go down to not 0.9, not 0.6, not 0.4-to-1. It went down to 0.04-to-1, which means that for every stock that was up, there were 25 down. It was the most oversold I'd ever seen the thing since 08-09, okay? And I knew the market was bottoming out at that point. This week, the buy-sell ratio got down to 0.1-to-1, which I have not seen in years, okay? So, and it puts that in its perspective, 0.1-to-1 is extremely oversold. And here's the amazing thing is it got extremely oversold, the overall market. The Dow is still at 25,000. So that blows my mind that most of the damage in the overall market was done without really hurting the bigger companies, which hadn't run up as much, to be honest with you. Okay. So with that being said, anytime it gets that oversold, the next quarter, usually there's a huge rally, okay? Because everybody's going to sell. Kind of blew their wad and did it, okay? Now they're sitting in the money market earning, you know, 0.6, 0.4, whatever they're earning. And the money's sitting there, and guess what? Sooner or later, if the train starts leaving the station, everybody's going to want to get on board. So I think there's a big rally coming in the fourth quarter of this year. So hence the buying list is being made. I'm looking at these companies, all of which are very strong. Companies with good moats around them, hard for competitors to get into their businesses and do what they do. So it's hard to explain math and statistics over the radio, but I just want to give you a historical view because I've never gotten into detail with it because I was waiting for a big correction to explain to you why I have a huge advantage in that because of this mathematical program, I'm able to keep things much more perspective than your typical person out there, whether it be an investor or an advisor. So it does help in a huge, huge way. Jeff Bezos opened an account with me recently. Well, not exactly. Mr. Bezos look-alike opened an account with me. You know, I told him he resembled the richest man in the world, he laughed and he said he wishes. And I go, so do I. And we both laughed, you know. But it was uncanny, his resemblance. He's a little older than Jeff Bezos, but I looked and I went, my God, you look just like Jeff Bezos. And we will had a good laugh. His wife laughed so hard. We just got a total kick out of it. You know, a sense of humor will get you through a lot in life. Show me a couple that laughs together, and I'll show you friendship and love that lasts. And I've seen that time and time again. Okay, now, I wanted to cancel this because the market was crashing Wednesday and Thursday. It was crazy and whatnot. But Lisa Carberg from Lisa Carberg Communications, we had planned to do a Facebook Live event, 10 o'clock in the morning in my office. She brought her equipment, and I was going to cancel it just because of everything else. But I decided not to, and I'm glad I didn't. If you want to see the video, it's on the O'Brien Retirement Investment Group Facebook account. It's also on my personal, Dennis O'Brien, so just friend me, and if you're fairly normal, friend me, and we can you can go take a look at it. I thought it was pretty well done, about 10 minutes long. She made it very, very easy to do, and she's extremely professional. She was the former Fox anchor, I think, in New York, and an NBC anchor in Connecticut. But thanks to you, Lisa, and her Facebook page is Lisa Carberg Communications, if you'd like to go to her site and look at the video, too. She does an excellent job. So anybody out there is interested in getting more visibility, you tap into her network, you tap into yours, and then, of course, if you have a radio show, you can talk about it, which is a great thing to have. All right, let's talk politics in Connecticut a little bit, because all of you, you know how it's coming, the TAC ads, and you're getting mailers in the mail about the coming election and whatnot. So Connecticut has a big election coming up for governor in the state Senate and the state House of Representatives. And any of you politicians out there, my question to you is simply this, okay? I will vote for anybody who promises me to raise the value of my house and your house to catch up to the 30% lag that we've had since April 2012. So in 2012, the rest of the country's gone up 30% in house value on average, and we have not gone up, okay? So anybody running for office, if you promise to grow Connecticut's economy and our incomes, to increase the value of our homes, to catch up, I'm going to vote for you. Is that clear enough? Please help us and our kids so they don't have to move to New York or Boston, North Carolina or California. I miss my kids. I'm not saying they wouldn't have moved there for their great jobs that they've gotten in New York and those jobs can be replicated here. But they really, to do anything, they felt like they had to do that. And I'm not saying that your kids need to move. They might find great jobs here. But I want them to have more choices. So give the gift of smart economic policies, please. I am begging you. Okay? Pro-growth, pro-jobs. Let's get this state growing again. Let's get our home values up because it's embarrassing what's happened here since April 2012. Okay? So that's it. You notice I don't say Democrat. I don't say Republican. I don't go there. Okay? What I'm telling you is I don't care if you're with the Zebra Party. I don't care what party you're with. You're either pro-growth, okay, or I ain't voting for you. Okay? Sorry for using the word ain't to my English teacher. But in any case, I just want to give that heads up. Now, if you guys want to come in anytime and get a one-to-one conference, I never charge for financial planning. I want to see where you're at. Bring your statements in so we can review everything. Because it's critical to get a, sometimes it's good to get a second opinion on what's going on. And we're going to talk about some of the programs that I see other people in and why I totally, totally disagree with what many of you have been sold or are doing. And I'll tell you why in the next segment. So make sure you don't go away. I am on 94.9 News Now Radio. It's a wonderful station. My engineer is Chris, and he always looks out for me really, really well. Also, I want to talk about the Mystic Film Festival, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. That starts Thursday night here at the Mystic Luxury Cinemas, and that runs through Sunday, and that's going to be a wonderful event. A lot of young filmmakers from Connecticut, all over New England, and internationally, too. We'll be here. You'll be able to talk with them. And it's run by Shereen Anderson, a wonderful person. And if you want to get the schedule, go to mysticfilmfestival.com. And I think this thing is going to grow and grow and grow. That's why O'Brien Retirement is a sponsor of it. We'll talk to you in a few. If you have any questions, call 860-464-9490 here at the station, 94.9 News Now. Talk to you in a few. Thanks. Dennis O'Brien, the Retirement Life and Investing Show on 94.9 News Now. Hope everybody's doing well. We are talking about retirement, investing, politics, life, love, family, it all. We have it all on this show. We can talk about anything we want, as long as it's legal, right? So anyway, I got a call from a bank yesterday. This is a lesson to all of you, okay? Got a call from a bank yesterday asking for delivery instructions. This was on a voicemail. It was later in the day. It's like, almost like they called, hoping I wasn't there. For a new client of mine whose parents passed and left a big IRA to her four kids. So the dad had passed, and then the mom had passed. Four kids and left a big IRA. Okay? Now, here's the deal, okay? When banks have things like this, I get a little nervous, okay? Because many times these people don't do it full-time. They're doing a lot of other things. They're hardworking people, but sometimes they just can't keep up with everything, okay? The number one rule, if your parent passes with an IRA money, do not let them send you a check. And let me explain why, okay? If they send you a check, do you want a check? Who says no to that question? Everybody wants a check. But the reason why you don't want the check is this. If it's going from one generation to the next and they send a check to you, guess what they have to do? They have to withhold taxes. All right? So they have got to withhold 25% federal, 6.99 state, okay? And it could have been all avoided, okay? So if someone dies, parents pass, and it's going to another generation, okay? You have to open something called an inherited IRA. And the custodian that has the current parent IRA, is tell them to open up an inherited beneficiary IRA. All right? Now, some of the siblings may say, I want the money. I'll pay the taxes. I'm having money problems or whatnot. But if you're not, do not. The savings can be in tens of thousands of dollars depending on the size of these IRAs, which some of them are getting very, very large. Okay, because the money probably came from a 401k. The father's passed. It went to the mom. Okay. And in that case, the same generation married. It didn't. But now you have to tell them, if you don't want taxes withheld, help tell them to open up an inherited IRA. And once that inherited IRA, beneficiary IRAs opened and it's funded with a quarter of those assets, then I can take it out of the bank and open up an inherited IRA and have the assets moved over. I will not open an IRA for you and move mom's IRA money to your IRA because you cannot do it without withholding taxes. Okay? Once you go situation. So here it was. The bank called. Okay? Do I take the cash and have the taxes withhold over my dead body? On the voicemail, they did not indicate they had opened an inherited or beneficiary IRA. So no taxes needed to be withheld. I'm curious if they're trying to avoid extra work by not opening the accounts and not telling them so they could avoid tens of thousands of dollars in taxes. We'll see. I'm on the case. The client promises not to sign anything until we review it. So a distribution form, please do not sign. We'll have to keep an eye on these guys. The level of stupidity and just amateurism is mind-boggling sometimes. Boy, oh boy, you have to keep an eye on them. And sometimes it's just a mistake of ignorance. They don't realize. They don't want to, why would I want to open up and transfer it into an inherited IRA? That's what they're thinking, because it's going to be pulled out anyway, and they don't want to be bothered, okay? You know, sometimes you got to keep an eye on it. That's all I'm telling you. So I'm on the case telling the client, do not sign anything without me reviewing it and make sure. So where do you stand with your finances? Are you happy with the professional, or do you even have one? Are you in a cookie-cutter program where your allocations were set by a dumb questionnaire and never updated for market conditions or changes in your life? Remember, many of these products, mutual funds, stocks, etc., that these portfolio managements are anything but, they manage you for a fee and then forget and move on to the next. So if they say you're 20% bonds and 20% stocks and 80% bonds because your questionnaire was like, I never want to lose a penny or I'm extremely low risk, or 50-50% where you could take, you know, moderate amount of risk, or on and on, the advisor's long gone in these programs and long gone onto the next one, and that's how it works. They're all automated. They do not adjust for market conditions or changes in your life. Okay? These are cookie cutter. And I see a lot of them. Okay? The big firms love them because the rep can just keep going on and on and on and on. The work ends once they got you signed up and in the automation. They move on. They couldn't, you know, it's not they don't care. It's just the way they were trained to do things. And if they never worked for anyone else, they don't know any better. Okay? So let me give you an example of what I'm talking about and how I work differently than they do, okay? In June of 2016, you went into one of these cookie-cutter portfolio system, and it determined you 40% stocks, 60% bonds, and then Trump gets elected, okay? You never get a call, still the same allocation, and on and on and on. The advisor's long gone, on to the next. That's the way it works. So you come to me instead, and based on market conditions and your perceived risk tolerance, I'm guessing that you're 50-50, and so I allocate you that way initially, all right? But, you know, subject to quarterly reviews, let's see what's going on. Then Trump gets elected, and I call and contact my clients in December 16, and I tell them, because Trump got elected, it's time to take more risk, all right? It's time to take more growth, more risk, because I perceive his policies to be a boon to the markets and potentially to your portfolio. So we raise our allocations, if you agree, dramatically to stocks to make you a lot more money. It's called thinking and a day-to-day focus on all my portfolios. It's far from the cookie-cutter approach that many of you are in. My human eye looks over every portfolio every night. So when I perceived when Trump got elected that growth was going to pick up, markets were going to boom, I reacted to it, okay, in every portfolio. Now, some people said, no, I want to stand pat. That's fine, but they had that option. Sometimes they heard what I say, they started watching, and they go, holy cow, this guy's right, and they call me back a month later and said, you know, yeah, I think you're right. Let's start reacting to this. So the cookie cutter approach doesn't do this. It doesn't pay attention to any of that stuff. Okay, Because once you fill out that questionnaire, that's all they go by, and you are in that program and whatnot. That is crazy. That is like driving a car cross country with the steering wheel locked in without being able to turn. I can't think of any other analogy. Or having a sailboat where everything, the wheel is locked in and you can't turn it. Who would do that? That's what you're doing in these programs. You know, it does take some thinking, all right? They can't automate everything, although they'd love to, okay? Because they just, when the account's opened, and their work's done as far as they're concerned. When I open an account, the work is just starting, okay? And the reason I'm going on this rant is the client told me, I talked about this before, but it never sunk in, he told me, until our second or third or fourth meeting. I can't remember what he said. He said, remind people of this. And so when I was writing this morning, I thought about it, and I said, you know what? You know, I really got to hammer this home, because I do listen to what you tell me, because you have a better perception of what you need than I do. So it's good to listen. The more we talk, the better it is. So my human eye looks over every portfolio every night because that's the way I roll. The work starts when you give me the money. The other guy's work is done when you give him the money. Do you understand the difference? I've dedicated my life to understanding this stuff and become an expert. But after 38 years, I'm still learning and open to learning. The millennials have taught me a lot in the last few years about what they're doing and their behavior. Therefore, I've dedicated a portfolio to their name, the Millennial Portfolio. Yes, it's catchy. Yes, there's a little bit of marketing involved here because everybody wants to know what that means. But once they understand what it means and they see the changes in their own life with social media and shopping and the empty stores in the mall, okay, and the automation coming to cars and all the changes that are coming, okay, and the robotics and the and whatnot, and they see this, they realize that, yeah, you better listen to the younger generation because the technology, they're very at home with it. And they don't carry cash, so they pay for things differently. So I always tell people, you have to be giving an example because you're either moving ahead or moving behind. You're never static. And let me give you a baseball example of this. How much time do we have left? About 2 minutes. Okay, real quick. I'm a diehard Yankee fan. The Red Sox defeated the Yankees in 4 games, the last 2 in Yankee Stadium. Both teams had great talent, but the Red Sox were a little better this year. Why? I think it's because of last year. The Red Sox were eliminated last year, and I think their manager, Cora, Alex Cora, I think his name is, I think he stoked their desire and motivation, challenged them to improve. So they were bitterly disappointed last year, and they did, okay? The Yanks lost last year, the Astros in Game 7, the ALCS, surprising everyone how well they had done. So how did the young Yankees react this year? Well, they did well because they have a lot of talent, but they lost their focus against inferior teams, which showed immaturity in my view. I think it came too easily for them last year, and it showed in the playoffs this year. Hopefully Aaron Boone does what Alex Cora does and lets them know what it takes and the focus they need to succeed. So you're either moving ahead or you're moving behind, but you're never static, okay? And it's something extremely important. I listen to the boss. Oh, they ought to get rid of Boone. No, that's ridiculous. What Mr. Manager Boone has to realize is if Cora was successful with the disappointment, able to turn it into determination, will to succeed, that's what he did. And you got to admire the Red Sox for what they achieved. I'm a Yankee lover, but it doesn't mean I'm a Red Sox hater. I admire success and what it takes, and I admire what the Red Sox did this year. Absolute tremendous season. Kills me to say it, but go Yankees. We're coming back next year with a vengeance. Talk to you in a few. This is Dennis O'Brien of O'BrienRetire.com. Go to my website if you like my retirement 10 commandments. Hit the button, and I'll send it to you on Monday. See you in a few. Thanks. Welcome back, America. Dennis O'Brien, president of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group with the Retirement Life and Investing Show. Hope everybody's doing great. If you'd like to get my Retirement 10 Commandments, go to www.obrienretire.com. Our phone number here on 94.9 News Now Radio is 864-960-464-9490. If you have a question, comment, concern, Yankees, Red Sox, one more thing I want to say about that, okay? I think the other reason the Yankees lost is because of the immaturity of Aaron Judge, okay? Aaron Judge, as the story goes, played the New York song at Fenway after they beat them game two in Fenway. Well, you know what? You never, ever, ever put up bulletin board material for the other team and wake them up. And he did, okay? Plus, I think he messed with the curse a little bit, okay? So, Aaron Judge, you're a nice guy. I admire you. I think you're a tremendous talent, but you're from California. You don't understand, okay? Don't ever do that again, okay? Just back. I'm away from baseball for now. I vent it out. Good luck to the Red Sox. I am looking forward to the Red Sox-Houston Astro series. I think it's going to be a fantastic series, and I'm really, really looking forward to it. And honestly, I think the teams are pretty evenly matched, so I am looking for it. But my point is, you're never static. You're either improving or falling behind. That's what drives me to improve my business every day. One business coach told me, we were talking, and she says, yeah, you ought to take my class. And I go, I think I'm pretty good. I don't think I need it at this point in time. She said, yeah, she said she didn't think so either, to tell the truth, because of how focused she thought I was. And I took that as a compliment. If you love what you're doing, that's what happens. You surround yourself with people with similar mindsets, and you'll be surprised what happens. You will take off. People will gravitate to you knowing that you can help them succeed and will be rooting for them to overcome any problems in their lives. Now, I've had people ask me, why do you help people who cannot pay you? Because my door is open to anybody who needs help. Credit card debts, let's sit down. Whatever I can do to help, I will try to help you, okay? And it's because of hope, and this is the reason I do it, okay? If you help someone when they're down, besides the help you were giving them, you're giving them something more valuable than gold. You're giving them hope. Hope that there are good people out there that care. Hope that there's a better life waiting for you. Hope that you will find a great job. Hope that you'll meet someone as wonderful as you deserve. Hope that your children will find love, hope, and happiness. And hope that when life ends on this earth, that God's love will stay with you for eternity. That's why I help those who need a hand. We've all been there. We've all been down and feeling alone. You are not alone. Reach out. And if you reach out to me, I'll find a way I can help. If just listening, which is half the battle. I'm off my soapbox for now, and I hope everyone has a wonderful time. But value your time and think long term. Sometimes people get excited. They buy a car they can't afford, or they must get a side job just to make payments. According to a Gallup poll, less than a third of Americans have a long-term financial plan. Not saving enough money by failing to plan can leave you short in your golden years. Golden years, don't you love that? How you manage and spend your money is a direct reflection on your priorities. If you're thinking about sharing your life with a partner, it's important to talk openly to find out what their long-term goals align with you. When it comes to saving for your retirement years, it's important to understand the tax implications of your eventual retirement withdrawals, okay? If your financial situation's tight, you took out federal loans to pay for college, you might qualify for an income-based repayment plan. This will reduce your monthly loan payments, making it easier to keep up. So if you get out of college and you got a lot of loan debt, okay, live with your parents until you pay it off, and pay it off on an accelerated basis. Do not get an apartment. Do not buy a new car. Do not get married. Do not stress out someone else's life. Live with mom and dad and pay those off as quickly and as you can. Sometimes when parents see you working hard and how diligent you are, maybe they'll help you pay it back quicker, or grandparents will kick in. Maybe they don't have the money to do so. Maybe they do. But everybody likes to help someone that's helping themselves. Okay? One of the quickest, easiest ways to reduce debt is to pay off loans in order of the highest to lowest interest rates. Another way of doing it is take the smallest loan, pay that off first, and you go, yeah. Then you work on the next lowest balance and then the next, okay? So there's two ways to do that. I like paying off. I like giving people rewards for doing the right thing. So pay off the lowest one first, okay? And if you're worried about getting older, don't be. You're never too young or too old to make a huge difference. It's a self-inflicted limitation that has no basis in reality. Lots of people have started companies or even changed the world who were younger than you are today. So make the best of the rest of your life. All right. Do you know the difference between asset allocation and diversification? It's kind of tricky. Asset allocation refers to the diversity of your entire savings and investment portfolio. Stocks is an asset allocation, bonds, cash, real estate. They're asset classes. But within that asset class, diversification refers to the type of investments held within each class. So you have a stock portfolio. If you have 10 stocks, the stock portfolio is your asset allocation, but the diversification is within that asset class. So, you know, it's kind of the terms of the industry and whatnot. But how often should you meet with your retirement planner, financial advisor? While you may have particular circumstances, in general, it's good to meet at least once a year. However, if you anticipate a life-changing event such as marriage, birth of a child, divorce, or inheritance, it's a good idea to call for a meeting to discuss. That's very good advice. I try to reach out quarterly, you know, an email, a call, whatever you need, saying, hey, would you like to chat a little bit? There's something I'm looking at in the portfolio I'd like to change. What's new with you? And it's always good. Sometimes somebody comes in, they got a new job, they want me to look at the 401k allocations. Another person came in a couple of weeks ago, inherited a lot of money, and don't want to blow it. So the first thing we did was pay off all their debts. And then now we're going to start to put together a portfolio. And they called me yesterday and said, is it a good time to invest? And I go, well, it's definitely cheaper than it was, so I would think so. So we'll be talking real quickly soon about that. And whatnot. Fiduciary responsibility means to hold confidence or trust. A financial services industry professional has a fiduciary responsible to clients and should put the client's needs and interests ahead of their own. So at O'Brien Retirement, we manifest this through we do not sell front-end load mutual funds or big commission annuities. We feel that they are not appropriate as a fiduciary. And we feel very, very strongly locking your money up for 8 to 10 years is not appropriate. Okay? What if you're all locked up and you want to make a change because Trump got elected and you can't do anything about it because you locked yourself into something? That's absolutely ridiculous. Look at options when it comes to higher education. There's no shame in going to a two-year college before attending a university. You could save hundreds of thousands of dollars over a lifetime and you could still get a 4-year degree. Also consider working part-time while in school. It can help cover some of your expenses and keep you focused. Don't worry about what everyone else is doing. Half these kids bragging about where they're going to college, senior high school, they're home in a year. Okay? And with debts, they're going to last a lot longer than a year. Okay? And when your kid goes off to college, please explain to them about credit cards. Please, please, please. Knowing your credit score and taking steps to get it higher can have a tremendous impact on financial planning. For example, a person with a low score of 580 to 600 may pay an extra 3 points more on a mortgage than a person with a score between 720 and 750. The difference between an 8.5% and 5.5% loan on a $100,000 loan is a difference of $2,400 a year. That money could be used, saved in a retirement account, or put away for child's education. When you're self-employed, the transition to retirement can sometimes be complicated. The dreams of reaping the rewards after so many years of working hard is sweetly satisfying. However, you do need a workable succession plan. And clients will want to know that. What are you thinking of doing? How long are you going to work? It's a question that comes up all the time to me. And I'm working diligently on it all the time. But I love what I do, and I want to do it as long as I have my marbles. That's the truth. I still got them, I think. If I'm able to do the show, I think I probably still have them. But in any case, I hope listening helps maybe spur on some questions you want to ask me personally or talk to your own financial advisor about. Don't be shy. Squeaky wheel gets the grease. reach out to them. And if you're not happy what you hear or the lack of contact, give me a ring and we can chat. I only open accounts and deal with people I like, because you're going to get my cell phone. You're going to be able to call me day or night. Okay. So I do not give that to people that, you know, would abuse it. So in any case, give me a ring, 860-415-9614, anytime after the show, if you want to talk, or email me at dobryant@ifgrr.com. I wish for every one of you a happy and loving weekend. Reach out to relatives. Call mom or dad if you're lucky enough to still have them. Have a great week, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye now.